What's up, guys? Welcome to another UFC Quick Picks here on the Mayo Media Network. We have UFC Vegas 84 this weekend. Magomed Ankalaev versus Johnny Walker, number two. First event of 2024, so welcome back. I hope you guys enjoyed the short break that we had. We are into a new UFC season. A lot of big fights coming up in the first quarter of this year, I'll tell you that. So it's an exciting time. As usual, I'm going to give you my favorite cash game play, tournament play, salary play, and a matchup I like from a DraftKings perspective. Before I do, please like the video, subscribe to the channel, and comment below. Give me like a prediction or something for 2024 in the comment section below. I'm always interested to hear your thoughts. It's kind of a crazy slate. You could talk about this slate too if you want. But if you got any fun, interesting predictions for 2024, I'd love to hear them in the comment section below. Let's get into my cash game play of the week, which is going to be Magomed Ankalaev at 9.4K. The main event is typically one that we like to target for cash games. It's an interesting slate here because the top range is like stacked. I mean, Silva, Cortez Acosta, Ankalaev, Nolan rate out phenomenally well. Silva's like minus 800 to win inside the distance. I do think that Ankalaev has the best floor ceiling combination of the group, though. He also has a large sample size of fights. We more know what to expect here. GPPs, you can go any direction you want, but Ankalaev, a technical, competent striker, and he's a pretty strong wrestler and grappler as well. Only averages one takedown per 15 minutes, though we already took Johnny Walker down in the first couple minutes of their last fight, which ended by no contest. Five rounds to work with. I think Ankalaev finds his way on top of Johnny Walker at points. I expect multiple takedowns, ground and pound, control. I think he can also hurt Johnny Walker on the feet. Walker's not too durable. And, you know, Ankalaev has fought at a slower pace than we'd like at times. But even in five rounds, I mean, if he goes out there, busts, and scores 80 points, that's still a pretty decent score from a cash game perspective. That's not going to kill your night. So, yeah, you can prioritize Silva if you want for early finishing upside. But I think Ankalaev has the best floor-ceiling combination on the slate. Minus 545 to win, minus 275 to win inside the distance, plus wrestling equity, plus five rounds to work with. I'm going with Ankalaev in cash games. All right, in tournaments, I like Tom Nolan at 9.2K. I think he's one of my favorite plays on the entire slate, and even in comparison to the Ankalaev and Silva range, in the upper 9K range, I'm willing to take some risks on Tom Nolan. He could be popular, I should say, because he's one that rates out well, so it's not necessarily like a hot take. But you can't play Tom Nolan and Ankalaev and Silva. You have to make decisions. Nolan is minus 338 against Nicolas Mota. And I just really love his aggression. He's shown to be a very aggressive fighter on the regional scene, both with grappling upside and in striking, finishing ability. He won with a quick knockout on the Contender Series. In like a minute and 23 seconds. And I think he's going to go chase after Mota and hunt for the finish. Mota's coming off a stupid, for lack of a better term, a stupid no contest in which Mota was clearly losing every round, was about to be submitted, and the ref just jumped in before the submission was actually finished. But Mota's landing 2.6 strikes per minute. He's absorbing 4.6. He doesn't wrestle. All he does is throw big power shots at a slow pace. He's not very durable. He's been knocked out early twice in the UFC already. And he just doesn't have volume. He doesn't have defensive wrestling. He's not a great fighter. I do think he could maybe hurt and knock out Tom Nolan, because Tom Nolan's not the most defensively sound fighter, but this fight is very likely to end inside the distance. It's minus 1,200 to end inside the distance, to be exact. And that could come on the feet for Nolan, or it could come on the ground. And what I like about him, I guess, just is the pacing of victory inside the distance plus the pace in which he fights. It's going to mean a large number of exchanges. And I think it means a higher ceiling than potentially these other early finishers. Like Manal Kopp could win by first round knockout, but he's not really going to wrestle. He's doesn't really throw strikes at a high rate. You just need the knockout, and that's about it. Nolan could land three takedowns in round one, land a bunch of ground and pound. You know, there's a higher ceiling based on his style and pacing, and that's what really, really intrigues me. There's risk here with his UFC debut, with the opponent he's facing who could hurt him in return, but I'm chasing upside here. Nolan is minus 285 to win inside the distance, saves a little bit of salary off Ankalaev, off Silva. I think he's a very strong tournament option. All right, my salary play of the week, I'm going to roll with Mario Bautista at 7.6K. It's not a great card for underdogs, and this is certainly not a lock, a pick by any stretch. And in fact, I think his opponent, Ricky Simon, is probably going to be one of the most popular fighters on this entire slate. The odds are trending toward Simon. Simon wrestles at a high pace. It's hard to ignore Ricky Simon. When Ricky Simon wins, even by decision, he's scoring 90 to 100 points. So I have no problems with rostering Ricky Simon. I will have exposure to Ricky Simon. It's just that it's not the easiest matchup for him, I don't think, because Simon isn't like a great control wrestler. What we like about Simon is that his wrestling control is so bad that his opponents just stand back up. And he therefore has to take them down again and take them down again. And then he ends up with seven takedowns in a decision. And yeah, he's going to put up a good DraftKings score. But it's not as if one takedown means a full round of control and a submission for Ricky Simon. And Mario Bautista, who can be taken down, has good cardio, and has a decent scrambling and get-up game. So I do think Ricky Simon will take him down. But I have some hope that Bautista can stand back up like every opponent Simon faces. In which case, I mean, are we sure Bautista's not just the better striker here? Bautista attempts strikes at a far higher pace than Ricky Simon. Simon averages 3.0 significant strikes per minute. Bautista averages 5.3. Bautista's taller. Bautista, I guess they share the same reach. Both guys have been hurt. Ricky Simon's been hurt a bunch of times. He was just knocked out by Song Yadong. He was knocked down a couple times in that fight. He was knocked out by Uriah Faber. You know, Bautista's a pretty good kickboxer, and at worst, I think has a chance to compete on striking rounds, win a decision, and at best, I think he has some knockout upside, and he'll act as leverage against a very popular Ricky Simon, who, Simon is, what did I say, -185 to win. Simone's +250 to win inside the distance. Bautista +315 to win inside the distance. It's fine if you want to go elsewhere with your underdogs. There aren't a lot of great options, especially the further in salary you go. I think there's a decent amount of win equity for Mario Bautista, 7.6K, leverage against the more popular Simone. He will be my salary play of the week. And finally, my matchup of the week, I'm going with Bruno Fajeda versus Phil Hawes. It really feels like someone's getting knocked out in this fight. And the downside, the problem is that if someone doesn't, then neither guy's likely to score super well, and we could see the fight bust. Bruno Fajeda is -125, Phil Hawes +109 on DraftKings. Fajeda's 8.3K, Hawes is 7.9K. So this is a mid-range fight. -700 to end inside the distance, though. And it comes down to knockout power and durability. I mean, Phil Hawes has no chin. He's been knocked out in round one in three of his last four fights. He gets hurt all the time. And so it just would not be a surprise if Bruno Fajeda can hurt him as well. On the flip side, Bruno Fajeda's never been to decision. He rarely fights past round one. He already has a first-round knockout win and a first-round knockout loss in the UFC. And I kind of think that's who he is. He's a dangerous guy early. He's got submission grappling in his game, but he hasn't been tested in extended fights, and I'm not sure he's super durable either. And he's also not super well suited for middleweight. I mean, he's 5'10 with a 72-inch reach. Phil Hawes is 6 foot with a 77-inch reach. And Phil Hawes is a much better wrestler than Fajera. So any submission grappling equity that Fajera has, I think, is going to be kind of neutralized by Phil Hawes here, in which case they're probably just going to stand and bang. And I think Hawes is the sneaky side. He's plus 155 to win inside the distance. Fajera's minus 125. So Fajera should be the more popular side of the two. I kind of like taking one last shot on Phil Hawes here, given the price reduction, given the ownership reduction. I think he's being a little bit undervalued, but it's a great fight to target with a heavy ITT line, good mid-range prices. That's going to be my matchup of the week. All right, guys, that's it for this week's UFC Quick Picks. Thank you so much for the support. Follow me on Twitter, BirdAppleyTTP. I just did a free, nearly two-hour podcast with my guy Gambles Gordo, breaking down every single fight on the slate. That podcast is usually behind the paywall on DailyFanMMA.com. Not this week, though, so go check that out if you're interested. We also have, I think, like 15,000 words of written breakdowns, matchup analysis, DraftKings analysis. We'll have rankings, projections, and more behind the paywall, DailyFanMMA.com. There's no place better to be here. 2024, great fights. Thank you for the support, as always. Good luck in your contest this week. Talk to you all soon, everyone. Peace.